Love is the answer to living with the knowledge that you can lose your people.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story.
Hi, friends. As you know, we are celebrating our 6th year of the podcast here by every month sharing an early episode in which I read one of my essays aloud. And to give some fresh new perspective on these, I am not only sharing what it's like to listen back, but also telling you the behind the scenes writing process of the way that I took the essay from seed to story. So let's dive into today's episode. This essay that you're about to hear is a really special one. It's called The Opposite of Loss, and I am bringing it back right now in particular because April always marks the anniversary of my father's passing, which I can't even believe was 5 years ago in April of 2021. And I ended up writing this essay that you're about to hear a year after his passing. And I performed it on this very podcast for episode 62. Listening back to it has been really, really interesting. I took a walk on the beach in order to listen to it. And I felt so many different emotions. One is that I feel proud that I really captured the emotions I was feeling that spring when I lost my father, because it was also around the very same time that my sister got engaged. So it was this odd mixture of joy for her and deep sadness for me and my father. And I feel like I accurately capture that on the page. So I felt really proud to listen back to it. You know, there are certain essays that I write when after I write them, I feel a really big settling in my soul of like, I was able to really capture the feeling. And this is one of those ones that every time I hear it and see it, I feel that deep sense of settling inside my soul. Like I really did capture it. I also felt really proud because this essay ended up being not only included in my essay collection, Come Home to Your Heart, but it was featured in Good Grit magazine. And a beautiful illustrator, Sarah Rain Hammond, ended up doing drawings to my essay. And I was blown away by the sort of graphic representation of my story on the page. So it's another one of those moments where words and images had a really powerful effect, as I've been talking about a lot this year because of my upcoming retreat in Spain, which I'm doing with Molly Weisenberg and Hallie Bateman, and it's stories and sketches. And so this was one of those ones that combined both. So I took this walk on the beach, listened to the essay, and had a moment there on the sand thinking of my father, thinking of this idea of love and loss, and really just holding it all in my heart. So it feels like a really special honoring. Here is my essay, The Opposite of Loss.
On a sunny Saturday last April, I got the call that my father was losing his cancer battle and was not going to make it. I learned that when I visited him the next day in the hospital, it would likely be the last time I saw him. It was a crisp spring morning, and Jamie and I had just dropped Gio off at his kid's science class. We were sitting in a strip mall parking lot because I was about to purchase a gift for my sister. Unbeknownst to her, her boyfriend was going to propose to her that afternoon, and we were all going to meet up afterwards to congratulate them. I wanted to find the perfect gift. And then I got the news about my father. My parents had divorced when I was young, and though my mom remarried and had my sister, my father never did. So I shared many of my Sundays with him, just the two of us, driving around or stopping at my Grandma Kenny's house for a visit. When I became an adult, we went on family trips together to Ireland and Hawaii, strengthening our bond. But one of his proudest experiences was becoming a grandfather to Gio, who called him Daddo. Then, in 2020, my father got the news that he had cancer. One short year later, he was leaving this world. When I hung up the phone, I sobbed in the passenger seat of our truck as Jamie rubbed my back. And when I was too overwhelmed to stay in the truck for one more minute, I asked Jamie to drive me to Home Depot. In the midst of my grief, I felt instinctively that I wanted to get my sister and her partner something important, something meaningful, not some throwaway knickknack. I wanted to give them a treat. Bleary-eyed, I stumbled through the outdoor garden section, wondering how it was even possible to hold two opposing emotions in my heart at the same time. Joy and elation for my sister, deep grief and mourning for my father, whose life was being cut short at age 57. How do we carry on with such loss at our doorstep? As Jamie and I roamed the outdoor aisles of the garden center, I felt like a zombie. I was outside of my body, floating, untethered, in an alternate reality. Other people milled about, grabbing pansies for their garden, seemingly without a care in the world. I felt lost. I never imagined that I would be fatherless at age 37. As I walked around, I saw a section that said flowering trees, and something in my broken heart warmed a bit. I checked all the tags to see what kind of flowers they yielded, until I found the perfect one. It would bloom every spring to remind my sister and her boyfriend of the day they decided to spend their life together. Love would still flower, even in the midst of loss. As we secured the tree in the bed of Jamie's truck, that little sapling planted a tiny bloom in my heart during a very dark time. We celebrated the wonderful engagement that evening, and then the next morning, I said goodbye to my father. Within a span of 24 hours, I had embraced my sister as she leapt into my arms after her proposal, and I had rubbed the thin, shaking hand of my father, who was leaving this world. The contrasts of that spring were so shocking to me that I don't know how my heart did not split into two. At my father's memorial service, I sobbed as soldiers played taps and handed me my father's folded military flag. With each gun blast of the salute, I jumped, feeling like I had been shot. And also that spring, there were moments of love, of joy, of awe, of jumping on the trampoline with Gio, drinking a mint julep and wearing a silly hat at my sister's Kentucky Derby party. How was it possible to hold love and loss in my heart at once? My father's passing and a recent family health crisis have caused us all to be more cognizant of our mortality. And poor Gio has recently realized that our time on this earth is finite, One night, he called me into his room as he sobbed, asking what happens when we die. He was terrified, knowing that there would be a time when he was here and we were not. With my own tears in my throat, I tried to soothe him. But how could I possibly console my son when the very same terrors keep me up at night? I said that none of us know what the afterlife will bring. So what if we imagined the most beautiful place where all spirits meet? I said that one way to lessen your worry is to recite a list of things you're grateful for. I said, I'll guide you through a meditation and ease your pain. But as I rubbed his head and whispered soothing images of sunshine pouring into his heart, I wondered to myself, how do we keep living in the wake of such loss, knowing that loss is inevitable? How do we not let it consume us? A flood of images came into my brain. One of when I was little, my father taking me to the bookstore, our favorite place, and to Taco Bell, his least favorite, but my ultimate. My father renting a red Mustang convertible on a family trip so we could ride along the beach with the wind in our hair. I thought of the last words he ever said when he was in the hospital. They were on the phone with Gio. How are you feeling, Dado? Gio asked. And my father answered, a whole lot better now that I'm talking to you. Cleaning out my father's house after his passing, I found the get well cards that Gio had drawn for him. They completely covered the side of my father's refrigerator. My father's cupboards were full of the mugs that had pictures of him and Gio on them, and the computer mouse pad he used every day was a family photo collage I had given him for Christmas. And it hits me. I want to say to Gio, the opposite of death is not life. It is not merely existing. No, no. The opposite of loss is love. It is loving your people. It is the memory of a father taking his daughter to a fast food place he hated because he knew she loved it. It is when I drank a mint julep and toast my sister's engagement, so delighted in her happiness. It is when I jump on the trampoline with Gio. It is when Jamie cooks us dinner every night. It is when Gio gives Jamie and I family hugs. It is when I guide Gio through a meditation to ease his worries and he falls asleep instantly. His fear melted away. The opposite of loss is not life. It is not merely the tree itself. It is the flowering blooms that fill your heart with joy and awe. And so I whispered to Gio as he sleeps peacefully, love is not merely the opposite of loss, my dear. It is the answer to it.
Yeah, I'm really proud of this one. And when I went back in my memory to think about how the writing of it began, what I remembered was that I actually worked kind of backwards for this one. What happened was that in the spring of 22, a year after losing my father, my husband, Jamie, had this really random health crisis. He had H. pylori, which is a gut bacteria, which ended up creating an ulcer, which ended up pressing against a blood vessel, which ended up causing internal bleeding, unbeknownst to all of us. And one night in the spring of that year, he passed out in the kitchen. And I was getting ready for bed, and I heard this loud boom. And I ran down the stairs to find him unconscious on the kitchen floor. My God. Long story short, called 911. The paramedics came. And obviously, as you know, he is well and all is good. But our son, Gio, woke up to, you know, the ambulance outside of our house, paramedics. in our kitchen, and I was trying to both shield him from seeing everything, but also tend to Jamie as they were getting him basically aware and alert again, and getting IVs into him and trying to assess what the heck had happened. And so Gio, a few days after that, called me into his room and asked what happens when we die, which is the scene that comes at the very end of this essay. And he was asking that question because the whole arrival of the ambulance and the paramedics and seeing his dad taken out on a stretcher to the ambulance really awakened this realization that his parents were also not exempt from the laws of mortality. And he had also witnessed the previous year, the passing of my father. And so I think it was all starting to click for him. And he was basically having the exact same fears that I was having too, of just like, none of us know what's going to happen. And how the heck do we just continue going on with our day-to-day lives when our people can be taken from us at any minute? And what a hard moment that was. But it played out verbatim as I described at the end of the essay. And when I thought about really what was behind why he was asking that, I realized that it was all connected, that it was about my father and it was about how to hold loss and love at once. And I really had this just deep awareness of what I said at the end of the essay, which was that love is the answer, always. And so love is the answer to living with the knowledge that you can lose your people. So I attempted to write that piece, but I had the end in my mind before I had the beginning. And really, as I was sitting with Gio, meditating with him, I had all these things flooding in my mind, these images of my father. And so I realized that it was also about him, and on it goes. And so when I sat down to write, it was the moment with Gio that was the impetus, but it came last in the actual essay. So what I highly recommend is that when you have a moment in real life that captures you for whatever reason, and you know it's important, unravel it and keep asking yourself why? That's what I did with this one. Why is Gio asking this question right now? Why do I hold that spring as such a complicated spring in my heart? Why did my father take me to these places that he hated just for me? Why? I just kept asking why. Why do we continue to carry on in this wild world when we know what the end game is? And the essay was the answer to all of those why questions. So I hope this helps you in your journey to unravel your own stories and the meaning behind it. Keep asking why. If you liked this episode, please feel free to share it with a friend. Like, subscribe, follow the podcast, leave a review, all the things. And greatest thanks to my dear producer, Michelle Rado, who makes this show possible. Remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next time.